Okay, good morning, everyone. We'll go to, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we'll also go to, if you have a Bible, we'll go to Titus chapter 1, and I'll try to see if I can get us into this thought this morning and try to see how I can sort of put this where at least it can be a blessing, amen? And of somewhat needful understanding of the Bible. And I think that's one thing that is the greatest thing. When you get an understanding of the Word of God, how much things can make a difference. Understand that this morning we have the Bible. That's the Word of God, small w, but Jesus Christ is the Word of God himself. So let me pick this up from last week where we were talking about the rewards in heaven and the idea that your Christian life, that when you get saved, is God has a plan for us to build upon that foundation, which I won't go into last week's message, but that's what Paul said. He was a master builder, and there's no other foundation to be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. And obviously, we all know that any building or anything in our life, if the foundation isn't right, there's a little bit of shaking or there's a lot of different kinds of things that can happen, amen? But the foundation is that. And then Paul went down and he was speaking to the Corinthians, and he said to them, he told them about the foundation, which we looked at last week, was that if you and I build our life upon this foundation that's already laid, if we build our foundation upon what Christ has done, not what we have done, we trust in his works, nothing else, that God said he would give us rewards in heaven. Of course, those rewards we did look at, the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. The gold and the silver were, we looked at the fact that those rewards are without, impurity. They're pure, even transparent to that point. But then he went on to say to them, he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The idea then was that Paul was saying, listen, stay true, stay on the foundation, stay true to the faith. Don't move off that. Don't get shaken by men. Don't get distracted from what Christ has done. That's what he's telling them. And if you do that, you get a reward. Pretty neat, eh? But God has to be just to tell us that, right? So he tells us there are rewards. And he tells us to stay within your Christian faith upon that foundation which is laid. Now, what's good about that? It's not something you and I laid, it's what he did. Then he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So, the passage is not talking about losing your salvation, it's just talking about losing reward. But it is important. It is important. Then he goes on, then he says to the Corinthians, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Okay, and as I go through this little bit, this is just introduction, and this will make a little bit more clear as we go through this. He says, know ye not to the Corinthian believers that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now, just keep that thought for a moment. Just come over to Titus chapter 1. And I'll fill in the blanks here on those passages, okay? By the way, when I first read that, God will destroy, man, that got my attention. But let's not go to what I was thinking then, okay? Let's come now over to Titus in verse 9 of chapter 1, Titus 1 verse 9. Understand, when the Bible was written, that Paul was dealing with now a new faith in Christ, because now he's resurrected. He says, holding fast the faithful words as ye have been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So when he writes here, he once again, Paul's saying, now listen, hold fast the faithful word. Hold on to it. Just the same as he wrote to the Corinthians about the foundation. Listen, don't forget about the foundation. Hold fast to the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And of course, at that time, you understand the Jew was trying to put the believers back under the Old Testament law. You could say it that way, you could run it down through, or they were trying to bring them back under the letter of the law. They were trying to give the believers a religion. Because if I build on a foundation that's been laid, it's not a religion. I'm building upon who? Christ is the foundation, on a person, not on a religion. And that's the key. My Christian life, or your Christian life, is all dealt up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not dealt up with a religion. He says, many vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. So it's somewhat serious. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. So in other words, there's money involved. Be careful of the church that you go to that asks for your bank account. Amen? Don't do that, okay? One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, even beast slow bellies. This witness is true. Okay. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. When I was reading this, it reminds me of the modern day internet. People are more interested in, they're more interested, actually Paul's being sarcastic here in a way. He says, listen, the witness of men is true. They are slow bellies. But can I say, so what? So what? Because then Paul says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. God is not interested in anything in our lives but having a sound faith in the Word of God or in Jesus Christ, in the one you trusted. So that's what he's saying. This witness is true. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. I want to give you a thought this morning from the Word of God that I've just titled this, What Really Matters? What really matters? And this is what Paul's writing. He's presenting to the church, listen, this is what really matters. You and I do not need the witness of men. We need the witness of God. Amen? The witness of men is not the thing we seek. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, even their unbelieving conscience is defiled. So what really matters? And here's something that really matters. In the Old Testament, Solomon, you know that they built a temple. You know there was a tabernacle in the Old Testament. Where was God to dwell? In the temple. Now, so Paul says to the Corinthians, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. So God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells where? In the believer. Okay, in the believer. Okay, so come over to me for a moment to John, the Gospel of John chapter 1. So God is not in the temple made with hands. He's now dwelling in the believer's heart. And he says over there also in 2 Corinthians that he will walk up and down in them. In other words, now we are to be a temple. We are his temple. And, excuse me, it's a purchased temple, by the way, isn't it? Salvation purchases you. He makes you now one of his. Now let's come over to John. I'm still in. Come over to the Gospel of John. But I want to talk about this morning this idea of what really matters. What really does matter. And as I said, there's a lot of things that are happening right now in the day and age you and I live in. It doesn't really matter. It didn't really matter that the witness of those people in Titus, their witness was true, but it didn't really matter. You know, we live in a day and age that everyone thinks something matters. The only reason that people think that something matters is truth, and this is the truth to be known, is that they don't somehow believe that God's in control. God is still God, amen? I mean, even if he uses Satan, he still uses Satan. Satan can't do anything without God's permission. Yeah, we understand that we are now in a fallen world. We understand that, you know, that who is the God of this world? And that's Satan. And I'll come to him in a moment. So he says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Christ. So in the beginning there was the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. So here you have the Father, Jesus Christ is called the Word, and he was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God, so Christ was with him as the Word of God. All things were made by him. This is Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now in him, notice this little word, was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, I really do believe in my heart that every man and woman that is born into this world have a conscience that they know there's a God. God shines that light in their heart, gives them a witness that there is a God. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. For they came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So the idea was that all men might believe. For who? Jesus Christ. He was not that light, that's John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Listen, I'm not here to bear witness to men this morning. I'm here to bear witness to God, amen? And that he is the light. And that light came and dwelt amongst us. John was a man sent to be a witness of God, amen? He was the voice crying in the wilderness. And that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can you imagine the lonely walk of Jesus Christ? He came into the world, he was sent from the Father, amen? The Father's the source of all things. The whole world was made by him, he's the Word of God. He comes down into this world, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, that's the Jews, and his own received him not. I mean, you know, you have a look at that thing. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Now, I want you to look what it says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them. Now notice the next word, believe on his name. Okay, I'm going to tell you something that really matters. Our authority really matters. What do you mean? For someone to believe on Jesus Christ, and when you do believe on him as your Savior, God gives you power to become the sons of God. And you say, well, what is that power? Notice in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? God. Nicodemus didn't need anything more from Jesus Christ than the life that he was offering. You know what gives me the power to be the Son of God? Is the life of God in us. You are born again. You have his life in you when you believed. You might not realize that, but as soon as you believed and got saved, God put his life in us. We're born with the Son of God's life in me. That now gives me power to become a son of God, or to be a son of God. Okay? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Because who now indwells the heart? God does. Whose life do we have? His life. Amen. You have God's life in you, a little tiny wee seed. And you know how tiny that seed is? Just when you and I believed. Because that's how faith works. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I believed. Soon as you believed and acknowledged the Lord as your Saviour, God put His life in you, because you're not born by the will of man, by the will of the flesh, but by God. What do you mean? Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and Jesus just said, listen, mate, you must be born again. If you want the authority that God can give you, get my life in you. Nicodemus came with the authority of the Pharisees. Remember that? So you and I have authority. And that authority is that God is in us. Amen? Think about that. His life in you. As soon as you believe. Okay, so let me show you that this is true. We do believe the Bible. I don't stand here to teach really anything else. But in 2 Corinthians 4, how do we get this life? So watch what happens here. So in 2 Corinthians 4, we're talking now about the God of this world. And 2 Corinthians 4 deals with this. He says, Paul speaking, therefore we seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy and faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So that's the word of God. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Because every man has a conscience. But then he says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, what's the gospel? Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and what happened? He rose again. That's the gospel. So if our gospel be hid, okay, so watch what he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What do you mean? Well, if you don't know the gospel, you're lost from it. In whom, little g, the God of this world have blinded the minds. So who's that? Satan. Whose world do we live in? Satan's world. Who did we belong to before we got saved? Him. God quickened us, made us alive, gave us a spirit of God in us. Have you ever noticed, have you ever noticed that after you believed you have a new desire? That's what we're talking about. You have a new desire. But he says, blind are the minds of them, and here's the word, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant sakes, for Jesus' sake. So here's the point. What does Satan want to do? Blind you from doing what? Believing. Amen? And when you believe, what does God then give you by faith? His life. Amen. The life of the Son of God in us. And that's why Paul said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Because now, as a believer, I have God indwelling me. So our authority really matters. You have an authority from God to say that you're a child of God. And that's not based upon my belief in the Bible as much as it's based on the fact that God put His life in us. When they were in the garden, they had life eternal, didn't they? Just go over to 1 John with me, 1 John chapter 5. But what happened to man when he sinned in the garden? What basically happened to him? What was not in the garden that was outside the garden? Death. Outside the garden there was death. Man died spiritually. Okay? Now it's Father's Day. Now the life you and I have from our fathers is only temporal. Would you agree? You still need your father. The Father in the Bible, God the Father is the source of all things. So over here in John John chapter, where are we going? 1 John chapter 5, and I'll come down to have a look here. In verse 11, and this is the record that God have given to us eternal, what's the word? Life, and this life is in his Son. The next thing I want to say that really matters is eternal life. What did God give you when you believed on his Son? Eternal life. Amen. Gave you eternal life. Hey, this is good news, guys. He gave you eternal life. You know what Paul said in Corinthians? He said, you can get rewards in heaven, but you're not going to lose your salvation. Why? God's not going to take eternal life away from you, which he's given to you in his Son. But notice the next verse. He that have the Son have what? Life. And he that have not the Son of God have no life. It's not a religion. Someone said to me the other day, I'm religious. I'm not religious. I possess the life of the Son of God in my heart. So do you. That does not make me religious. That just makes me a vessel. With God's life in me, which is called eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. So when you receive him as your Savior, God gives us eternal life. And our eternal life matters. The temple in the Old Testament, in particular Solomon's temple, was made with stone on the outside. What they would do, they would line the inside of the temple with the cedars of Lebanon. And if you've ever seen those trees, they grow up into monarchs of trees. Amen. It takes growth for that tree to grow to that height from a little seed, from a tiny little seed that just falleth to the ground. Man doesn't understand life. We understand that life responds to the environment around it. Meaning that that little seed, if it falls in the right place and it gets moisture and warmth, it will respond to that and what? Grow. And the roots will go down for water and it will bud up towards what? Light. So the temple was made of stone on the outside, but the inside was cedar. And it took time to grow. But then they would line the inside of the temple with gold. Who knows what gold means in the Bible? Deity. Amen? Gold. And that gold was then so God could inhabit it because he's what? Holy. So we are now the temple of God. And he does something within us that he can abide. Jesus Christ said about himself, he said in John 12:24, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. What do you mean? What's he saying? Well, each seed that falls, it abides alone. Would you agree? The seed doesn't get any help from any other seeds. It dies in the ground. You farmers know, what do you do with your seeds? You stick them in the ground, amen? But then he says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There's the gospel. But if it die, Jesus Christ died for our sins, amen. He was buried, and what happened next? Rose again. There's the fruit. He died. Come over to John 7:37 with me on this thought here. So we've got the temple. You've got the life of the Son of God in you after you believed. And you say, Brother Simon, I didn't feel that. No, you didn't. I didn't feel it either. There was definitely a change in my thinking. I used to walk around telling everyone there's a heaven. But I didn't really know everything about what was going on in my heart, amen, till I got to the Bible and found out what God had given us. So you do need the Bible it's our manual to say, for the Christian or the believer to say, this is what we have. So where did I say we're going to? Oh, the Gospel. Yeah, John 7. This is the Feast of Tabernacles here. This is at the end of the eighth day. And Jesus went up to the feast. You remember too that the Pharisees were trying to kill him. If anyone confessed Christ, they'd chuck them out of the temple. But here in John chapter 7 and 37, notice what the Lord says. Now, I want you to understand that to stand up in the religious crowd of Jerusalem and Israel with the Pharisees and the temple and all those things, and what they were doing, they were washing the temple from all the blood sacrifices from the pool of Siloam, and they were cleaning it, and that cleansing, which will happen again later on, but not the cleansing, the Feast of Tabernacles for the Jew was them getting ready for the second or first advent to Christ to come. See, for the Jew, so you and I aren't Jews, for them to become in the presence of God, they needed water. That's why John was baptizing out at Jordan. They were going out by faith saying, God is coming, and I need to get washed, because it's a picture that now they're coming into the presence of God. Okay, so that's what was happening. That's what they were doing there. But notice Jesus says in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, what's the word? Living waters. The atonement means that when you got saved, you got the blood of Christ. The atonement means that you're in perfect union with God now, with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the atonement means. We received the atonement when you believed. But Jesus did not say here, he that believeth in me shall realize the blessing of the fullness of God. He didn't say that. But he that believeth in me, out of him shall escape everything he receives. Have a look. He that believeth on me, the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living waters. Do you know that when the tree is planted and the cedars of Lebanon get up in the high canopy there, do you know where the water goes? From the root, right out, into the atmosphere. Not about us. If anything, God gives you something, it's not for you, it's for someone else. It's water. What does water, what does the seed need? What do we need? Water. We need that water. His purpose is to make a man exactly like himself. The characteristics of the Son of God is self-expenditure. What do you mean self-expenditure? Jesus laid down his life, didn't he? Amen. He was the seed that died alone. He laid down his life. He laid down his life for us. We can't measure that because we can't measure that. Now in Ephesians 4:1, the Bible says, we won't go to this passage this morning, but he says growing up in Christ. We are to grow up in Christ. So the idea then is that we are to grow up in him. The Pharisees, you remember the Pharisees, have a look with me in Luke chapter 11 verse 40. Have a look in Luke chapter 11 verse 40. Try to. Luke 11 verse 40. Notice what Jesus says. He rebukes the Pharisees. So he says, I'm going to come over here. Be a moment. Luke 40, he says to them in verse 39, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup, the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, it's a rebuke here, did not he that made that which is without make that which is what? Within. See, the Pharisees had a temple, or they were made of stone, amen, there was nothing in them. You say, why was there nothing in them? Because by faith they hadn't received the life of God in them. They built a religion. He said, and the Lord's saying, listen, you guys, You like the outside, have you forgotten about the inside? You'd realize that the temple couldn't hold water. You know what can indwell in our hearts and our minds is the Word of God. We can hold it. Have you ever noticed that if you learn the Bible, God can bring back a scripture to you just like that, just when it's needed? Amen, amen, hallelujah. You think about the Pharisees built the house upon a what? Sand. Wrong foundation. Doesn't hold anything. A religious person that I've been dealing with, I said to him, well, how's this working out for you? Because he was trying to build his Christian life on a set of false beliefs or a false belief system, a system that was somewhat religious, saying if I can keep this and keep that, if I can do that, and somehow he'd always try to explain it to me, can never go anywhere. And I said, well, how's that working out for you? It won't work out for them because there's nothing in them. Because the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what God puts in, amen? That's what works out from within. Not trying to somehow set up a wall of stone and somehow set up a religious thing in our mind that somehow says, look at the outside of me. God is not interested in the outside of you and I. He doesn't care anything about that. All he cares is whether the life of the Son of God is in us. Because he wants us to grow up into him so we can have a likeness to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said about the vine, you know, remember the vine, he said, talking to the disciples, and he's talking about we are part of a vine. He says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, some believers just need a good drink. You just need a lot more water than you have. Amen? Because that water is going to help the life of the Son of God in you. Understand that the life of the Son of God in you is that life wants the water. Not the old nature. Water is so, that life was so important to God that even when they were in the wilderness, the Bible says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. While Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, God makes sure that the availability of the water that they need, which was Christ, was available. When you and I get saved, we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, both Jew and Gentile, and made to drink into one Spirit. What do you mean? To drink. You know what Jesus said about to believe means? To drink. He that believeth on me. So when I start to believe in Jesus Christ, I have what? You and I have a thirst. And that thirst comes from now the new life in you. That seed needs watering, amen? That seed now is the life of God. This is the supernatural seed of salvation. Men need salvation, do not need a religion. They need a savior, amen? Forget the religion, you need God in you, and then that water, that life in you wants water so it can survive and grow. God is always making sure that in the believer you see Christ and not us. Amen? We need to be expenditure. I was saying this on the weekend to some of these pastors and that. I've seen pastors just throw believers to the side because they are not interested in the sheep. They're not interested in the growth of the believer. They're not interested in whether the believer's getting the nourishment they need or the light that they need. Because listen to me, if I don't get that nourishment, if I don't get that light, if I don't get that water, what am I going to do as a believer? What's going to happen to me? Amen. Die. That life of the Son of God in me will... it'll wither away. We still have it. Amen. We still have it. But it dies. Have you ever seen a tree in the desert? by itself? I have. And there's some water there. And it grows despite of the drought around it. It grows despite of the dominion of death around us. Listen, what really matters, guys, you live in a dead world and it's dying. Amen? But if we get by those waters around the Word of God, we can be like that tree just growing regardless of our surroundings. See, our circumstances have nothing to do with nothing. What do you mean? God knows our circumstances. It's the life He puts in us that He's more interested in. And what is that life? Come on, guys, you can tell me what life is it. Why don't you just call it eternal life? It's eternal life. The builders rejected the cornerstone, we know that. And the Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. And so they departed from the living God, as you know, if you read the scriptures. So hence, really, the Pharisees and the scribes, by rejecting Christ, they rejected the life of God, and Jesus said they were full of dead man's bones. To a religious person, I've said that thing about working out. But you know what really matters? So I've talked about the water, talked about the life in us, but now I'm going to say what really matters to us is faith. Okay, I'm going to get a plant here. This is, I'm going to get two things here. You know, our faith really matters. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Have a read of 1 John again. Jesus said that He was the light of the world in John 8. So any plant's going to need what? What are we going to need? Light. So you need water for the life that's in us. You also need what? Light. A plant needs light. Have you ever seen in the forest how the plants compete for the light? They need light. If you look at a plant, if you look at a leaf, the plants have a. I'll just use the word here. It might not be the way. I should have. My dad was going to send me to agriculture, whatever science, whatever it was, and I can't even remember the word. Okay, but on the plant, you have a thing called stomata. It's a light absorbing cells. And those light-absorbing cells, it's a complex thing that processes photosynthesis, sunlight, and that produces carbohydrates for the growth of the plant. So the tree, so your plant, on the leaf of the plant, has a system of cells that needs the light to produce carbohydrates so it what? Grows, amen? And it competes for the light. One thing that you and I need is light. Now, God is what? Light. Well, we can't receive all the light at one time, can we? It would blind us. When I was planting some plants recently in our backyard, it was Sunday afternoon, you know when you get the westerly sun? And they were young plants, but I noticed that they were turning away from the sun because they couldn't receive that direct sunlight. And God will give you and I as believers light. Don't reject the light that God gives you, because then He'll give you more light. God can't just give you all light in one hit, but He'll give you a little bit of light. And so the light that I receive, when I receive that light, He gives me a little bit more light. You know what faith in action is? Faith in action is the Christian or believer's response to the light they get from the Word of God. That's how you get light. It's my response to the light from the Bible. If I reject that light, then what happens? I can start looking like this. Have you ever seen a plant in a basement? Yeah. Betty, you're good at this. Do they go yellow? Yeah. They also get, what, sticky because of the stoma is not working, amen? They're not getting light. Yellow and sickly. But have you ever noticed that, have you ever seen the plants turn towards the light? Amen. Now spiritually, guys, are you turning towards the light? Are you responding to the light you get from the scriptures? Amen. Are we getting this? Because you have God's life in you. And God is more interested in about feeding that life than he is more worried about this life. Now I know that to be a fact that when I'm right with God, which is a rare moment, okay, then it's not happening all the time. But when I'm walking with the Lord, have you ever noticed now the life in me, I'm not worried now about this life. Amen. We can take our burdens to Calvary. Amen. We can lay them at Jesus' feet. We can start walking in a way by faith. Have a look with me. We're up to James 1:17. So James 1:17. Now today is Father's Day. So I thought this was and I didn't do this purposely, but James 1:17. Now, with the Father in heaven, he is the source of all things. The Son was sent by the Father. Holy Ghost then convinces you to believe on the Son. That's how God works. So God the Father sent the Son. He died for your sins. Then what the Holy Ghost does, the Spirit of God, convinces you to believe or trust in Jesus Christ. And as soon as you believe, then God puts his light in you. Notice in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, near the shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. And he goes on. So our Father in heaven is the Father of lights. Now, listen to me. I needed my earthly father, but I need my heavenly father, because from my heavenly father I get eternal life, not the temporal life. This is what really matters. You need the eternal life, not the temporal life. You've got to have the temporal life to get the eternal. What do you mean? You had to be born. Okay, amen. You had to do that. Now, come over to James chapter 3 with me. James chapter 3. Now, as I said, don't be a Christian that ends up in the basement. Because if you end up in the basement, you'll end up like this. Why? Because darkness now has caused you, or the Son of God in you, it can't be fed, and it's unhealthy. And what did I say? James, pick it up in verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed of blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So James is saying you can't have one or the other. Remember, unto the pure all things are pure. You know why that is? As soon as a pure mind can't think evil, can it? It's a pure mind. You know, God is light. Is there any darkness in God? When we're dwelling in that light, as John says, abide in that light, is there any darkness in our mind now? No, because darkness cannot abide with God. Amen. He is the Father of lights. So he says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of fine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So in other words, if you run down through that, no, it can't. In other words, each thing has to bear the fruit that it was created for. Who is wise man who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if he have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, so in again. So, but if you have, notice the word, bitter, envying, and strife where? In your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Devilish. You know, there are some things I know has happened here, is that you would wonder where these people get this stuff from and the accusations they come up with, because it's not from above, it's earthly, it's devilish. And then it's in verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisies. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What are you talking about? When I receive the light from God's word and I receive it, when I'm cleansed by God's word, I end up abiding in Jesus Christ, and now I can say I have a pure mind, and unto the pure all things are pure. In other words, we are to look like this. We are look to like this branch, right? And we're in the light. Okay, so darkness doesn't like light. I need to dwell in the light of God's word. There's no pretense with God. What do you mean? Well, don't come in putting on the garb, the Christian garb. There is no pretense of God. God made you and I just the way we are. Remember Jesus said, let your light so shine before men? But if you're in the basement, now this is the devil's trick. If you're in the basement and you're not getting the light and the water that God so much wants you to drink of, then you will look like the plant in the basement, and you'll be yellow and sickly. And I'm talking to believers here, not unbelievers. And if you're in the basement, you're in darkness. Can I ask you a question? Then where do you think your wisdom's going to come from? Above? From beneath. Why? Because you've blocked out the light. And then you get evil, then all the problem comes. The problems start. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. When I get myself out of sorts with God, I can end up like being in the basement. I'm not getting any light from Him. My attitude's changed. My mind is not pure anymore. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisies. So our faith is important. It's important to abide in Him. I don't want the earthly and devilish wisdom, amen? I don't want it. That's what matters. That's what he was saying in Titus. He said, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is what? Defiled. Now, who's ever been there? I'll put my hand up, okay, to just so you can go along with me. we have all had our conscience defiled. We have all walked in darkness, amen? We have all had envy and strife, and there is nothing good in us. Would you agree with me? That's one thing I found out. When I knew there was nothing good in me. But isn't it amazing how God can change us when we get around the light? Then we can be a blessing to others. We can then be like the fountain, that water. God uses us as a fountain, and everything he gives us is for someone else. We are expendable. You know, Christian life is not about me. Not about the church. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about others, amen? And if there's anything that God puts through us or gives us, it's not for us to store up. It's to give to others. Jesus Christ's life was expendable. He died alone, amen. We need to remember the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in our bodies. Remember his death. Because without his death, you and I couldn't have life. Think about it. You couldn't have eternal life. Because he could have gone back to heaven as the Son of God. When he stepped out of glory, there was no sin in heaven. There was no darkness. They already got rid of Satan. Remember Satan? And he stepped out of glory, out of the light of the Father, and came down into this world. He missed the fellowship he had once with the Father. And when he was on that Mount Transfiguration, he could have gone back to heaven as the Son of God. But understand, Jesus Christ didn't do that. He came down back into the valley and went to the cross as the Son of Man. And died on the cross and became the seed that fell into the ground. So when we believe on him, and this is how simple it is, when we believe on him, God gives us what? Eternal life. Isn't that simple? It's so simple. And yet he did it all for us. We need to keep this in the mind. Sometimes if you meditate on what I've just said, sometimes in your own Christian life, just say to the Lord, I need a drink. And then check yourself and say, Lord, how am I responding to the scriptures? Because faith in action is faith responding to the light he gives us. You know what's really good about that? You can't measure it. I do not know the light that God gives each person in this room, amen? I don't know that light. Isn't it amazing how personal that thing is? Isn't it amazing how you can just go to him and ask those things? Isn't it a wonderful thing that he doesn't give us too much light? Otherwise, what do? We turn away. But isn't it interesting when he gives us the right amount of light, we start turning towards who? Him, Jesus Christ. He's the Son, amen. And we turn to him because, listen guys, that's our eternal life. And that's what really matters. That's what really, really matters. It really, really matters. It mattered a whole lot to God. He looked at creation and said, they're lost, they need my life. Amen? That's what salvation is. It's not a religion, it's just a matter of receiving what he gave. Let's close with our last hymn. We're going to close. Have a think about 228, 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.